That's what you got.
We're gonna try to put something together here from an introduction of the ABCs or of alcohol, ego and self. That was, and then go from there into some kind of a step purpose or step meaning of the recovery program. From there, not from just going into steps. So, the original part of what I said, where I had a sponsor that taught me steps, and he talked a great deal about alcoholism, and he also had 9 years of being sober while he was talking to me when I was brand new. And I thought in time that I could, maybe in a period of 9 years, that I might be able to achieve something that he had, because all I'd have to do is do what he did, and that's how he got that way. And then I found out that the application needed to do the change or make the change necessary, I didn't understand anything at all about the alcohol ego and self. And so then when I got into steps, and having no luck in steps as far as the change that would take place in me, because the purpose behind the steps, I couldn't understand it in an application form to benefit from what's there and why it's there. So I had to start again, and this is what we talked about last night, was the understanding or the awareness of what alcoholism is a disease, where it's at, how it got there, and then the ego factor plus who that is, meaning self. So now when I got into step one, where I admitted I was powerless over alcohol, that for me was an admission that was very evident, with no quarrel, I didn't need any other explanation or understanding of why that first half of step one was there, other than the fact I didn't know that it was a twofold disease, a mental obsession with a physical allergy that is a permanent condition. A condition that it's in my life, and it's me, and it's who I am, and what happened to me. But I don't know what that means as far as the physical allergy or the mental obsession, because physical allergy was a thing that I didn't drink. I was sober. I went to a hospital and I didn't drink, and so that wiped that out. And then, but the mental obsession, I couldn't understand why they would have that in there too. So step one, the part about alcoholism, the alcohol I knew a great deal of. I knew a lot about alcohol because I lived with it. I used it for everything. I used it for everything and anything I ever did. And so it wasn't hard to understand what alcohol, admitting that I was powerless over it, because I was powerless. I was powerless over alcohol to the extent where I couldn't survive without it. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't get up. I couldn't go to bed. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. Unless I was lit. I was lit all the time. The last 2 years of my drinking, I had one day without any alcohol, only because I couldn't get out of the apartment to get it when my wife was very sick and had to have oxygen that day. And so I didn't understand what to admit something. I found out that there's such a thing as admitting something but not accepting it. I found out that I can, and I would admit that I am powerless over alcohol and that I'm an alcoholic even. When I was drunk, I would say things like that. I would admit anything to anybody, especially bartenders that would want to throw me out of the joint, and they would be starting to jump on me about the way I was acting and what I was doing and all that and so on. And like my wife would say things to me, and I'd say, sure, you're damn right I'm an alcoholic, you know. And but I didn't believe that, and I didn't accept that, and I didn't relate that as something that was wrong with me. I didn't do that at all. And so step one, I found out that in the beginning now in alcoholism, the part about the disease, making the idea clear to me and be fully aware that I've got a head, the mind, and I got a place in my life that I live that there's a power there. There's a power that controls my life, my thinking, my living, walking, living life that I have, everything I do. There's a power behind this. And that power that's behind this is the disease that's already there, that's permanent in me. It's a disease. It's something that cannot be changed. It's something that happened to me. So when step one came, now, while I'm in step one, I had to find out that in step one they said in here that when I was powerless over alcohol, and they're mentioning alcohol now, they're talking about alcohol, and the acceptance of that, of being powerless over alcohol, by knowing what alcoholism is, made that possible now to have an effect on me, so that the application, I'm admitting something that I'm powerless over. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to stop drinking yet. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to go in bars. That doesn't mean any of these things at all. That's a person or a character that I have become. I am that person. This is me, period. But I didn't understand that me, period, meant that there's something else wrong with me. And that's in the second half of the first step. The first half was the fact that I drank when I was wet. I had a disease. I had a mental obsession, a physical allergy. When I hit bottom, it brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous, to an alcoholic hospital. Hitting bottom only meant the fact that I went to the end of the line. I couldn't go any farther with money, with friends, jobs, relationships to the world or anything else. I lost everything. And the bottom that I hit was the bottom that I needed to know about only through, not conditions now, but I had to get understanding that there was no place I could go, no place I could do anything. When I yelled for help, from another man, because I was told through the period of time that he suffered these same things that I was suffering, and the bottom that I hit was the bottom that I needed to have so that I could have something other than alcohol and alcoholism as a way of life. That was what I needed to know, and that's what step one will do. The second half was so very important, was the fact that I had to realize and know and understand, and I got it from step one, was that it's the disease of alcoholism is a condition of the mind and body that will be that way whether I am drunk or sober. Doesn't make any difference. Has no relationship to the amount of any kind of alcohol I'm drinking, or how much, or where, or when, or anything else like that. It's already established. It hasn't got anything to do with the wet side, although the wet side is the beginning of step one and brought me here. The second half of step one was the fact of understanding that alcoholism is the way I am, whether I am drunk or sober. But it also says in here, in step one, that I needed to know was what it's relating to on the last page of 12 by 12, what it says in there, why all the insistence that every A must hit bottom first. The answer is that few people will sincerely try to practice the AA program unless they have hit bottom. For practice in AA, remaining 11 steps means the adoption and attitudes and action that almost no alcoholic who's still drinking can dream of taking. But when I was reading this, it says in here that almost no alcoholic who is still drinking can dream of taking. And so right away, I was not drinking. I was sober. I had come out of a hospital. But I didn't understand that the disease now that we're talking about, and one that we're coming from alcoholism, says in here that drinking and thinking, I have to understand that there's two parts to step one. Well, the first part is drinking, the second part is thinking. The second part is where the unmanageable life is, where the alcoholism is. The first part of it is only where what brought me here, the bars, the drinking, the booze, the life that I hit bottom in. I didn't hit bottom after I got here. I hit bottom before I got here. And the bottom I hit is when I did this here life that I lived. I did my own life and I went to hell in it. And I don't know that though, see. I'm blaming it still on everything else. But this is only step one, coming from an understanding now that a life that's unmanageable, a life that brought me here, the unmanageable life, I couldn't relate it. I always related unmanageable life to something that was going on, a loss of job, a wife, or trouble, fighting, and accidents, and things like that. And I didn't understand what the true meaning of an unmanageable life in reference to an application because I always related back to the things that I have already done or the things that I was drunk doing, and the drunkenness brought these things into the picture. And here now, they're not even talking about that. So I had to change this here, this idea in here, what it says in here, who is still drinking can dream of taking. So I had to get away from that to understand that the 12 steps is a recovery program. It's a way of life. It's going on today. It isn't something that I'm going to get past, something that's going to be ended, something that's going to be completed. This here means that this Alcoholics Anonymous program now, without alcohol now, because I am sober, is where I am at. And so I have to know now that this is, this has meaning behind it for me to understand. I cannot say that because I'm not drinking, that fits you, not me. That's the way I used to think. That was an attitude that I always had. Sober and Alcoholics Anonymous. From now on, I'm going to talk only about being sober, not reference to being drunk. So I'm not going to bring in any alcohol now, because first half of one states we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, and they're not going to mention that again. They're not going to use that again. They're going to go into the unmanageable life, into alcoholism. And so this here last part here said, who wishes to be rigorously honest and tolerant? Who wants to confess his faults to another and make restitution for harm done? Who cares anything about a higher power, let alone meditation and prayer? Who wants to sacrifice time and energy in trying to carry the AA's message to the next sufferer? Know that the average alcoholic, self-centered in the extreme, doesn't care for this prospect, unless he has to do these things in order to stay alive himself. Step one, I had to stay alive. I had to learn that I did come here for me, that there is a disease, there's something wrong with me, there's something going on now, and I can admit this condition, this character, this person that I am. I have a twofold disease, and I've learned for myself this is twofold. It says twofold. Physical allergy with a mental obsession. No more than that, because I have not got any place past that to start using anything else as lacking. This step is complete, it's full. Every word in it, everything that's needed is there. I don't have to think that I have to leave here and go somewhere else and find something else. This is something now that is in step one. Alcoholics Anonymous was written with 12 steps for a recovery program, and this is the first one. That I must understand that this is meant for me. For me meaning I'm the alcoholic, I need this. They're talking about me. This is my life now. I've got to know this all the time, because I can't look beyond me or outside of me in comparison or in anything. I must remain in the brain of what I produce, because this is what's going to have to, it's what's needed and what's going to have to take place. And so I'm starting now into something that's very important, and this is step one. Understanding step one is alcohol. Alcoholism. Now we're in alcoholism. Last night, I think the hardest thing, I believe, which is the hardest thing for an alcoholic, is to try to understand an application, an understanding, or an awareness that the steps are there to treat alcoholism. Not to treat alcohol now. Alcoholism. I didn't understand that this is a daily process, a daily living life, a positive thing. If I don't have this, I only have what I brought here. I've got to understand this. I've got to understand it to the point where this is very, very important. My sponsor talked to me a great deal in the beginning, before I was in steps, before I was anywhere at all, and it was all about the beginning of my life in Alcoholics Anonymous. And about first things first, what's my major problem today? In the beginning, it was the hospital. I had to be hospitalized. I was that sick. From the hospital, I had to get my wife back, the job back, money to pay bills, performance given. I didn't have them. I had him. I had the sponsor helping me do the things that was necessary so that I would survive. And these steps were not in my life yet. They were not. But what he was doing to me was trying to help me make a beginning that was my beginning. Helping me see and have and do things now that I couldn't do by myself. I couldn't even begin to do these things or understand what's why they're needed or how to do them. Here already now, we went last night, we were in what I consider the ABCs of the Alpha, Omega, and Self. And now we can start maybe giving a quick run through it. But one, I think one has to be taught this way. I believe this. Because I can't skip one, or I can't only take a little piece of it, or just a small amount of it. Because my problem is alcohol and alcoholism. And if I skip over this now, I get into steps, because I started steps in without this, and I started out in step three. And when I started out in step three, I had no success. I meant well, but couldn't do well. I was trying my very best, which brought me here, and my very best is never good enough. Drunk or sober, doesn't make any difference. And now, though, I'm getting now to something that I can do, because step one is going to allow me now to understand when step two comes into the picture. In step two, when it talks in here about came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity, immediately it had to be clarified to me that I have to do something other than what I've been doing, and I can't do what I should do. I have to keep remaining the same man, because I am the same man. No change has taken place in me. There's nothing different about me, because I found out that without alcohol, I'm the same man as I am with alcohol. And that was a shock. That was really something that that I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe that my problem was me. I just couldn't believe that my head was my problem, my thinking was my problem, my life was my problem. Because now they're going back inside of me, see? And so the disease of alcoholism with the understanding of what an unmanageable life is. So when I could, if I could come to believe that there's something else other than me that could help me or fix me or do something to me differently than I can do to me, then that must mean that there's something to make another beginning here. And that's what this step two did to me. So step two, from now on, maybe we can go a little quicker, because I don't want to stay too long on steps this way. But I believe, though, that if you're not, as an alcoholic, if you're not brought into Alcoholics Anonymous and with the alcohol, ego, and self, and then brought through steps one, two, and three, where you can now stay, go back to one and stay with what you have learned in an understanding of the reason you're here, what to do, where to do it, how to do it, and then do it. Because this is a question now of doing. This is a question of each and every alcoholic now has to change, has to have a new method, has to have his alcoholism treated, has to have a daily reprieve, and so forth down the line, which comes from the application of steps. So in step two, it said, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore to sanity. The biggest thing I have to understand here is that there is a process of making a relationship with a power that's greater than me. And that's only a power. It started out of me as a power. Not a higher power, not a God, but a power. Something, and I could accept the fact that there is something better or something bigger, stronger than me. Because everything I did, the booze was stronger, my motorcycle was stronger, it would kill you, you know, I knew that. And it was something. So I could understand that there is something other than this world, other than me, that could do better than me, and I might be able to let that help me. Because I didn't need help in sobriety, because I could get sober, but I couldn't stay sober. And they were relating here something now that was entirely different. It said, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And so sanity, I had to get a definition. In your 12 by 12 here, I believe that probably the best definition that you could possibly say quickly is that when it says in here is that sanity is defined as soundness of mind. Soundness of mind meant exactly what I didn't have. I didn't have a mind that was very stable, very dependable, very... it couldn't produce anything that was consistent. It couldn't... it was always influenced by other things around me all the time. And so soundness of mind now became a part where the unmanageable life, where I had to live in a world trying to make people perform, people do things that I wanted done a certain way. So soundness of mind, the unmanageable life, is in step two. And step two meant exactly the same thing. It's in the big book to me is on page 60 to 62, and that's a performance that I give, a performance that I live in, trying to be the right kind of person to make my world right, and it never does get right. There is a power that's not me. So it says in here, came to believe that a power greater than herself could restore us to sanity, meaning that it's not in any one of us. Not in any one of us. The way I believe it means. It said, came to believe that a power greater than me, something outside of me, could make my life or make my brain well or whole or have soundness of mind. And that's only step two now. And then in three, when I do make a decision to turn my will and life over to his care, as I understood him. Understood him is the only part there that I was puzzled about, because the will, by that time, what I'm talking about now, when it said, made a decision to turn my will, I had to understand my will now was pretty well clarified. My will was my thinking, my will was my feelings, my attitude, my will was my brain that produced energy and power, and that's where my will lies. It doesn't lie in my toe or arm or anyplace else. It lies in my brain. And this is the power that I know of, because this is the power that I've lived with, and I know it's there. And the life, though, the life was pretty evident that life means exactly wherever I am in a performance for my life today. The will would be the mind, and what it produces, and what the way it goes, and how it talks to itself, and how it influences itself, and how it powers self, and so on. And then the life would be the following of that, of the doing or the living in the disease of alcoholism and not being drunk. Be in a performance, many years even in a performance, and not being drunk or any place near it, and still acting like I always have acted before, getting upset, getting frantic about the way you treat me, or the way you don't consider me, or the way you do things that I don't like you to do, and yet I keep getting upset about it. I keep losing many minutes or many days of my life because of somebody else's performance, and I don't understand this stuff. The true meaning of the disease of alcoholism is the same thing as what the steps when it treats it is. The true meaning means that it's a living thing. If the alcoholism is not a dead thing, it's not a thing that I put aside, it's not a thing because I haven't got alcohol in me, it's not gonna affect me now. Because it's not the alcohol anymore, it's the thinking, it's the brain, it's me, it's who I am. I must do this because I'm going to get into steps pretty soon here that I'm going to have to learn and understand a great deal about a change that's needed, about something else that has to be there instead of what's there now. And what's there now is the power of my mind, self. Trying to regulate the day, the place, the time, the people, so that I will be satisfied, that I will be pleased, that I can have this life today. See? Because the disease of alcoholism, when they say on page 85 that we're not cured of alcoholism, what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And that means that from this moment on, meaning when I first started or first come to AA, to find this way of life, meaning that is an ongoing living process, because that is a way of life that's a continual way of life. And so there is no more of getting past something, learning something to its fullest, and not needing it anymore. This is a daily reprieve, what I'm talking about now, for an alcoholic like me with alcoholism, meaning my brain must be treated and have God there, the daily treatment. Because when I make a decision to turn my will and life over to care of God, that's what I have to turn over. I have to turn over everything that I can produce in my mind or in my body, my performance. I must do this. Because it says in there, as we understood. And you know, another thing you might as well talk about it, or might as well say, is that from this moment on, meaning step one on, that business now of that pronoun, or using words like we, ourselves, us, I had to stop doing that, because I used that instead of using it in a collective sense of the way this thing was written for everybody, all alcoholics, I started using it to single out me away from you, thinking in terms of, I've done this, I don't need this, you need this, I don't need this. They're talking about you, not me. See, this is important to me, because you see, I want us to remember something that's so very important. I'm the one that's an alcoholic. I'm the one that's sick. I'm the one that does the damage. I'm the one that lives with my brain. I don't live with your brain. And so I've got to keep this as a frontal thing, a thing that's always present, is that my life is in jeopardy today if my alcoholism isn't being treated. It's really my truly meanness now. My life is in jeopardy. Now, you've got to understand that it doesn't take years, it doesn't take a great amount of experiences, it doesn't take a lot of understanding or a lot of information or a lot of education, money, or anything else, so that you have to have anything else other than who you are before you can have this. Because when I got here, I had to learn that when I got here, everything that this year recovery program will present will treat my alcoholism today, meaning today, after 38 years later, over 38 years later, my alcoholism has to be treated today or it will produce again an unmanageable life where I'll be restless, irritable, discontent, full of fears, depression, anxiety, hate thoughts. Everything is going to appear again, again, again today and destroy my life today. Because I talk to me, and I listen to me, and I do the power of me, and that is what I do, and that's what brought me here. I must remain the same man as I've always been without the recovery program of the 12 steps, which are the principles which will change me. If there is no change, there is no steps, there is no message, there is nothing there but the plain old story again. Alcoholism in its fullest bloom is being presented all the time. Step three in here tells in here, and it's pretty quick. They're talking in step. The thing about step three, I believe, is when you make a decision, you talk about the alcoholism, how alcoholism will take the decision away, and when it takes it away, of course, then you have to appear as the power. And how alcoholism will only let me, as an alcoholic, let God take care of my handicap or my most devastating trouble or thing that's wrong with me, meaning alcoholism and me, meaning that I will go any length at all. I'll go to the hospital. They'll strap me down. They'll fill me full of formaldehyde. They'll take me out of there, and they'll start pumping vitamins in me. But see, I'm letting them do all of them things, and I'm letting my sponsor talk to me the way he talks to me, and I'm doing all these things, but you see, the only thing that I'm doing, I'm letting something happen to the alcoholic, meaning me, about my alcohol. Only. In reference to that. And what I'm talking about now is that I had to go to my job that I had been fired from as a service manager. I had to go and take another job back on the line as a line mechanic. And that was because my sponsor wanted me to do that. Because he set it up. He said, go there and do that. See? So I said, okay, I'll do it. I did it. And I went to work that way. But that wasn't to treat my brain. And that wasn't to treat my wife the way I talked to her, the way I looked at her, the way I treated her. That was to treat me so that I could work and I could do these things. And see, in the steps, this here had to come to light pretty soon, pretty quickly. It's the fact that I run my life that way. I will let God in for a certain purpose, a certain reason, to fix a certain trouble, and it has to pertain to that and that alone, and then after that's taken care of it, I'm going to do my thing now. I'm going to take care of the rest of my life, because I don't need God there. I don't need his nothing there. It just isn't necessary. I can handle that so long as he'll handle my troubles with the booze. So this would be step three now. coming from this here alcoholism, ego, and self, is understanding that I need something more than just my alcohol and my alcoholism, which is reference to the alcohol, fixed. Not the alcoholism that needs all of my affairs and all of my life, but only the part that handles the drunken side. And so step three, I think, is where it should be brought to light and talked about, coming from where we're at now. Because when it talks in here, and it's on page 37 in the 12x12, and it says, starts at the top, and we did this last night too, it says, but the moment our mental or emotional independence is in question, how differently we behave, how persistently we claim the right to decide all by ourselves just what we shall think and how we shall act. Oh yes, we'll weigh the pros and cons of every problem. We'll listen flatly to those who advise us, but all the decisions are going to be ours alone. And that's exactly what I'm talking about now, about living in a world now with no time factor, no years of sobriety, or a lot of years of sobriety, either way, making no difference. And then all of a sudden decide all by myself that I'm going to treat you different. I'm going to think different. And I don't care who you are either. You could be somebody I love very dearly. Somebody that really has busted their neck for you, has really showed you kind, considerate years and time and events. But I'm still going to treat you the way I want to treat you. Because I'm going to talk to me, and I'm going to get the authority from my mind to rip you wide open, to think badly. Whether I express these on a verbal plane or not, doesn't make no difference. I'm going to do it one way or another. I'm going to think that you mistreated me. I'm going to think that you didn't consider me. And in turn, I'm going to be hostile. I'm going to be angry to you. And I'm going to perform that way. And yet I don't relate that to alcoholism. I don't relate that to a brain that's doing that. And so I have now the same kind of life, except my alcohol is being helped and treated, because I do allow a power greater than me, which I learned in two. I learned about soundness of mind. I learned a great deal about ego and who I am. And in step three, this step three, it says in here, and this to me is so very important. It says in here, then as it explained, that the other steps in the AA program can be practiced with success only when step three is given a determined and persistent trial. This statement may surprise newcomers who have experienced nothing but constant deflation and a growing conviction that human will is of no value whatever. They have become persuaded, and rightly so, that many problems besides alcohol will not yield to a headlong assault powered by the individual alone. But now it appears there are certain things which only the individual can do. Now this is the part I mean. It says this again, but now it appears that there are certain things that only the individual can do. All by himself, in the light of his own circumstances, he needs to develop the quality of willingness. When he acquires willingness, he is the only one who can make the decision to exert himself. Trying to do this is an act of his own will. See, they put the whole story now on me as the alcoholic. That's an act of my own will, something I'm going to have to do, something that's in me now to do this. But I got to understand I have the power that came from two, a power that can do this for me, not three. The decision in three is when I decided that I'm going to use that power. I must have that power. I must have this God as I understood now, and I understand. Four is talking about an inventory, and I think four is one of the steps that is, it's not easy, nothing's easy to do when you have to do something you don't know how to do. I know that. But I think that it's an easy process to do once you understand what it is that you have to do. Because I was always in doubts of why anybody would have to make a searching and fearless moral inventory, see, because I didn't know the purpose behind it or what the inventory is. And so I don't, I can run through this a little quicker and get going here a little bit more. And so I had to learn first that the inventory is my inventory. An inventory of defects of character are the things that I use for my life. These are not things that I have done in the past that are bothering me. These are the things that I live with day by day. This is a way of life and a character that I am. It's built on that character that does them things, that he lives in defects. Defects I have to learn are things that are what the word describes. They're defective. There's something wrong with them. They're not the thing to do, because they produce things that cause trouble, of all kinds of trouble with my life, because these defects of character are always based on the selfish self. They're always centered around what I believe, what I want, what I can get away with, or what I can. My whole happiness, my whole alcohol life is based on defects of character. And if they're present today, then they're the things that I use today. They are not things I did 10, 20, 30 years ago or anything like that. They are not. The things that bother me and upset me and make my life unmanageable today, the things that I do are the things I do today that do that. And because I live in every day I'm in. Although I go backwards and I go forwards, but I do the performance today. The other performances I already have done, whether it was yesterday or the tomorrow's where I'm going to do the performance. But today is the day that I must talk about, I must look into the brain and see what's in the brain of my brain today. And so I had to be clarified that defects of character, this is something only for me that I had to do, is that I had to understand that defects of character are things that I, as the alcoholic, do that I shouldn't do. Defects of character are things that I do that I should not do. And so that's simplifying it, and we can go in deeper in that, but we'll try to go a little quicker here on this. In five, where it says, we admitted we're powerless over alcohol, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. I could admit by then, I could admit this to anybody. Because at one time I learned how to admit things, to get past things, to get rid of things, to be acceptable again, or to get back in good graces again by admitting things. Sure, I'll admit things, a lot of things. And so it's easy, it was easy for me to talk to a God that I just was learning, a power that I was just learning. And it wasn't hard. There was only one thing that I ever did that I wouldn't admit to anybody else. I used to say this in meetings even. I said, there are things that I have done in my life I'll tell no man. I used to say that. I really did that. And there came a day that I had to do that too. Because even in the step, in the 12-by here, it's talking in here that this here has to be done, or it's possible I will get it. I will get drunk. See? And so, but I didn't know the true meaning of step five, because five is where there's somebody else starts to come in the picture. The God is already there, and I'm there, but there's somebody else. Now that somebody else wasn't my problem. See, that isn't why I couldn't do that step, or I didn't do it thorough, or I didn't do it for the effect it's there for. What I did, I didn't understand what they're saying in here, that admitted to God, I'm in that process. But the next part is to ourselves. That's something that was wrong. That's something there that I didn't consider, and didn't get any benefits from the application or the principles of this step. I wrote the inventory, and the exact natures of the wrong were up there, and admitting to God was something I could do, and I could tell you, whoever you were, my sponsor, I could tell you also, but I wouldn't accept it, and I wouldn't believe that. I just wouldn't do it, because I thought, shit, I wrote it. Why should I have to do that? That's me. But deep down inside, my whole life in sobriety, not drunkenness now, was always running from problems, running from me, running from my deeds, my thoughts, my actions, not accepting me for who I am. And I didn't understand step five, the purpose behind it, what it produces. And this here was when the simple part, admitted to that, to ourselves, meeting me, now to me, admitting to me the exact nature of my wrongs. See? Because I could do many things. I could talk about them. But I could walk away from them and still be that same person. Still be capable of these exact wrongs because I did not believe what I wrote. I did not accept what I wrote. I went through a process and I did it. That's step four. But five, I don't believe that. I don't know if you understand this or you know this or you even do this. I don't know that. I did it. I did this. And you know, it says in here, it talks in here about how admitting defeat, the defects with another person is very ancient, and, you know, and it's validated in every century and so forth like that. And it goes on to say a lot of things. But it didn't talk in here about me and what it does to me as far as when I don't do this. And I don't understand that this here past I have, or this performance that I have given, or this person I am, that the door they're talking about, of leaving the door open, I was running scared all the time because I didn't know, I was always waiting to be caught. I was always waiting for something that was there still in me, and I didn't want you to find out. I don't want you to know about this. See, and the full benefit of five I didn't have for some years because I did do certain things, and I did keep it away from you, meaning what it says in here, to another person, but I did not allow myself to be that person who I am and what I did and the way I lived. So I had to carry now, from this point forward, I had to go with something wrong with me inside, and I had to start living a life when the self-honesty I was living, I was living a lie, and I knew that. And step five is where I didn't know where the trouble really lied. I didn't know my troubles and why I was acting and performing the way I was. Because my alcoholism was not being treated in respect to where I was at in my life as far as what is needed here. It's what the benefit of five, I didn't receive it. Because I used to even say I would tell no man. And so that was that to me was a big problem for me. That really had really hurt me. The five, most of five, I believe, is what I consider a real benefit of it is what I'm talking about now about self, about myself, about being free of anything that I have done plus anything that's still there. I think that each and every one of us, you have to be, you have to have that. You have to be totally believe what you wrote. I think that you have to write what you have written. You accept it. I think that the deflation that's needed on the ego factor, I think that it's there. I think the full benefit of five now is something that if you and I would sit on a one-to-one and start talking about the true application of five, I think it would start going into something that's really eye-opening. It's really a strong thing. Because if there is something that's needed to be done for an alcoholic, and once you find out what it is and you get released from it or you get rid of it or it's not in your brain or it's not something you take to bed or it's not something that affects you and other affairs and all that, it's really a tremendous relief, eye-opening, progress, and it's a total thing. And six, you know, the six is one, you've heard me talk a little bit about six and that, and I'm not going against anybody. I'm not trying to prove anything or anything like that. But I still was taught though, when it says in six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, and I've learned that each step for me, when I was taught steps and what I was told about steps, that each step has its own function. One step doesn't rely upon the next step for that step. In other words, two is two by itself. To have something that's going to add to your life without needing to know what's ahead of two. Two is, I believe, is like three, like this. And so I believe six is like this, too. I believe six is by itself only because you're in the sixth step or the sixth part of the book or the application or however you want to word it. And I don't think you have to know anything beyond six to have six in your life. I don't think any steps do. See? And so what I'm referring to is somebody are thinking that the next step is going to help this step better. I think that this step is going to be there so that I can do the next step, not reverse. And so I believe this now, really believe this strongly. I won't argue with you about it or anything, but I believe six is all by itself because it says what it says in six, I believe, is something that you must, as an alcoholic, you must do now because this is the way of life. This is going on now. And so it says we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And you can single it out and say the one word means this more than it's more important and all that. But I don't think so. I think it says that exactly we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Meaning now, the things that were in my brain, the things I brought here, the things, the characters I am, what I think, what I can produce, the whole life I am, who I am, I'm going to have now, I'm entirely ready to have God remove these. And so it isn't a question of trying to remove only part of them and keep part of them, and that, although that I will do that probably, and I have done that probably, and so on. I think, though, that the understanding or the awareness of the intent of what six says, what it means, where it's at, is pretty clear, so that I don't have to go from six now and carry into the next step something so that it will help six. I don't think so. And so now what we're talking about is the defects of character, the things I talked about in the beginning now about the disease of alcoholism, where it's at, what it produces, and the way it thinks, and the way it acts, and why it's like that, is what we're talking about now in step six. If I want to hold back, or if I want to keep the power of self to use anything at all in my life today, whether it's jealousy, whether it's envy, whether it's anything at all that I know how to do or I live with, or which has been explained in four, and then five says the exact nature of these wrongs. If I want to go ahead this day and be a mean son of a bee again, or if I want to be a jealous again, or if I want to be a special person again to be considered over and above anybody else, or if I want special recognition, and all of these things like that, then I must accept what that produces, meaning that that alcoholism is not being treated because I'm using that same character for my life today that I got here with, and which was starting to be explained to me in the alcoholism, ego, and self. It also started to explain in step one that this is a disease, and it's in me, this is my mind, not yours. And that the unmanageable life, the second half of step one, the unmanageable life is being produced so that my life today. Now, I'm not talking about years or so, although I could be talking about years. I'm just talking about alcoholism in an alcoholic, me, as I live my life, with no reference to being better because I've got a lot of meetings behind me, or I got a lot of years, or I don't have a lot of meetings, or I don't have any years, because I'm talking about a disease. But in step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And if I want to use defects of character, in other words, if I want to be the same character that I've always been before, and I want to do this today, I must pay a price today for acting like that. I must do now something And when I do this something, I'm going to have to accept what follows that. Because this is going to be out of my doing. This is going to be out of my defects. This is something that I'm going to do that I shouldn't do. This is something that I know how to do, and every time I do it, I still have the same results. I'm restless, irritable, discontent. I'm full of jealousy, anger, fear, frustration, impatience. Everything is coming back into my life again today after a lot of years. Only because the disease isn't being treated, meaning that my mind is not with a power greater than me. It's not with something that can do for me what I can't do for myself. It's back to self again. The disease of alcoholism is my life. And I'm sober. And I got a lot of years sober. And I know a lot of application of steps, but I'm not doing it. But I don't have any free time. I don't have any reprieves now. And so I just don't understand this because I do it. I get running scared. I'm walking on eggshells. I'm afraid of being found out again. I'm waiting to see, or I'm trying to see something that's not there. I'm getting ready to have a situation, and they haven't even presented the situation yet. I don't like the way you look at me sometimes. I don't like the way you say certain things to me sometimes. I don't understand. That's what's wrong with me. That isn't what's wrong with you. I'm the one that's paying the price that I don't want to pay again. I don't want to be restless, irritable, discontent. But I still want to be able to tell you how to perform, what to say, what to do. I don't like the way you arrange furniture, meaning dishes in the kitchen or anything like that. And so I'm willing to raise hell, but I'm sober. And so I can say, it's all right. They shouldn't act that way. They shouldn't do this again. And then I'm going to have to suffer now. Because I'm back to self, and self can produce only what it can produce. And that's what's wrong with me anyway. I got a brain. And I'm ready to jump on your... I got a brain that tells me I should do something. I should retaliate. I should show you. I should let you know. And when I go to bed that night, I can't sleep. Because my brain talked to me, I listened to it, and I have to pay the price now. And I don't want to pay that price, but I have to. This is what alcoholism, this is what the 12 steps, and step 6 now, when it says in there, we're entirely ready. You know what I used to cop out on 6 was? In the back of 6, at the end of 6, and they're talking in here, it says in here that, let's dispose of what appears to be a hazardous open end we have left. It is suggested that we ought to become entirely willing to aim toward perfection. And I would say, well, I can't give it perfection. I'm a human being. And so I would just write that off as an excuse that I can do this and get away with that kind of behavior, because this is what it says. It says, we note that some delay might be pardoned. The word in mind of a rationing alcoholic could certainly be given a long-term meaning. He could say, how very easy, sure, I'll head towards perfection, but I'm not going to, but I'm certainly not going to hurry in any, not going to hurry any. Maybe I can postpone dealing with some of my problems indefinitely. Of course, this won't do. Such a bluffing of oneself will have to go the way of many other, any other pleasant, another pleasant rationalization. I'm always willing to look for loopholes. I'm always willing to excuse my behavior myself. I'm always willing to say that there's some, I have defects of character, and I'm gonna eventually get rid of them, or they're something that I'm working on, and things like along that nature. See, you know, that I'm gonna use these things, and I'm gonna get away with it too, because I can do this and satisfy self. I can't satisfy God, but I can satisfy self, because I'm doing this for self. I'm doing it with self, not with God. Defects of character. I don't care what alcoholic, I don't give a darn who you are as an alcoholic. Defects of character are very, very understandable, very noticeable, very evident when I live by defects of character. I've got a brain, and this brain when it uses defects of character, upsets me, bothers me, makes me talk to myself, makes me walk around kicking myself in the hind end for thinking, saying, and doing things that I have to pay a price for. Defects of character are always involved with somebody else. I'm always hurting somebody else. I'm going to look to a way to hurt them. Defects of character is a person I don't want to be. Defects of character are things that in step six, I know for a fact, my own life, that as each thing is presented to me, that becomes evident to me, that I'm quick to answer back to you the things that I can think about in my head to get ready to show you who you really are things that are going to kill me, not you. Because the character I am is based on my mind by what's in there for the power that's going to control me. When I become the authority again for my thinking, and we're in step six now, this is really a problem now for an alcoholic like me to be able to stay sober and still manage his life and still demand out of you a performance, which I should have learned down in two, that I'm still doing this today, regardless of how many years you've been sober. But I'm talking now about a recovery program that I don't use or don't have, or it's not in my life for my life today. And I will accept that. And I will continually do that. I'm an alcoholic. Now, I do this now. And I have done this. It ain't right. Because I'm going to the same place I've always go to. And I'm going to be that same character I've always been. And I'm going to miss the mark. And I'm going to be left out. And I'm not going to be able to be where God wants me to be. I'm not going to be the man God wants me to be. Because I won't let God in my life for that reason. I still stay there for the reason I claim it's right. The reason I want my life a certain way. And God says no. But I still insist upon having it that way. We should, when we get done here, as quick as I can get done here, is that step six is a step that to its fullest purpose has to be talked about, has to be explained, has to be shown, it has to be related to an alcoholic so that he can see himself as he is, as he lives, as he thinks, as he is, period. Step six. Because when you're not ready to have God remove all these defects of character, you will perform. You will be the same man that you've always been. And listen, I'm going to tell you another thing is, I myself was never, never free. And never, never was out of this at all until another alcoholic got a hold of me one day and he rattled my brains, and that's going to be in the next step. And then he showed me and told me and he related to me a performance that I must give. And if I don't give this performance, it's the same thing here as in six now. This is for me. I can't leave this out. I can't walk free of this and say, it's been done. I must have the full application of step six because of what step six does. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, meaning me and my brain, my life, the whole thing now. Without this, I can't go any farther in the program of recovery as a way of life. I can't. I must stop. I cannot go into step seven. Now, that's my opinion. Now, that there is something that I'm stuck on because of my life and what happened to me, and also I've seen a great many other alcoholics that have benefited and have needed and have done this, and they too are the person. They are that person that God said they can be. So, am I taking too long in this now? Is this too long?
No, right on.
Yeah, because I don't want to get too deep into the step, you know. But there are certain things about this step, because steps I can go into an application that it's just endless. It's just endless. The reason it's endless is because the mind that I have. In the performance that I'm in, I'm never staying in one place where I have been. I have been there, but I leave there. And so what I've done there, I need to do something more, and I have to continue in that way of living. I have to continue going so that this here application of the principles is what's making me go. It's what's treating my alcoholism. Because if it isn't treated, I have to go backwards, meaning I have to go back to the proven way, the known way that I can do, the known way I can do. See, because I'm always willing and I'm quick to go the way that I know how to go. I do this all the time. But I find out that all alkies do that. They would rather do something they know how to do, even when it's wrong, rather than to do something new they don't know how to do. And that's the disease, though. That's the alcoholism disease of the mind being so running scared, being so sure he's right, or whatever it is in there at that time, instead of attempting to allow a power, a God, a way of life that's already there, and it's constant, and it's proven, instead of going that way, I'd rather go the other way. Because this time I might make it different, and I might change the situation, and I get by. So I think I'll try this way first, and I can keep it. But see, that's the disease of alcoholism that's doing the opposite of what the steps were meant to do. The purpose to do. Step 7, humbly ask and remove our shortcomings. Most of you guys know very well a great deal about this. You don't have to be told. I know you don't, but maybe we can run through quick on